This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The United Nations says the pandemic's impact on tourism is taking trillions of dollars off the global economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A new UN report released today highlights trouble in the travel and tourism industries and puts blame in part on unequal global vaccine distribution. Inoculation efforts in Europe and the U.S. have raced ahead, while those in lower-income nations, which rely on tourism to fuel their economies, still lag behind. For decades, Africa has imported 99% of its vaccines, but the pandemic has kickstarted ambitious plans to change that. African leaders in April pledged that by 2024, they will increase to 60% the share of shots produced on the continent. Some projects are already in advanced stages, including one by a Kenyan pharmaceutical company just outside the country's capital. It hopes to produce COVID-19 vaccines by the end of the year, as the BBC's Maya Maturi reports.
A pharmaceutical firm on the outskirts of Kenya's capital, Nairobi, is looking to fast-track local vaccine manufacturing.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Parviz Danani is the founder and managing director of Universal Corporation Limited.
It's a huge investment, up to $150 million, plus minus. If everything is in place, the first commercial production can be out within 6 to 9 months at the max.
The COVID-19 pandemic has led to a sense of urgency and renewed public commitments around African vaccine manufacturing, something that Mr. Danani says can extend beyond coronavirus.
This will also manufacture any other viral vector vaccines, not only COVID. Anything under viral vector could be produced in this plant.
Right now, there are four manufacturers on the continent: the Pasteur Institute of Dakar in Senegal, the Pasteur Institute of Tunis in Tunisia, BioVac in Cape Town, and the Pasteur Institute of Algeria. They have the capacity to manufacture the substance that a vaccine is made of. Two others have announced plans to reach that point. Two manufacturers are or plan to be involved only in fill and finish processes or packaging and labeling. But with a third wave of coronavirus putting increasing pressure on hospitals, time is critical. A further challenge is rapid access. Patrick Tipon from the African Vaccine Manufacturing Institute says several things need to happen urgently.
You can have the grandest of facilities, the best equipment, but if the people aren't in place, then this thing will fall flat. Training of people on the continent, local skills is important. Technology transfers also assist in this regard to a great extent.
Even if those bottlenecks are fixed in the next few months, it's highly unlikely that enough homegrown vaccines will get to enough places in time to counter the devastating impact of a third or even fourth wave of COVID-19 in many African countries.
That's Maya Maturi reporting there. Meanwhile, in Brazil, a deal to buy 20 million doses from an Indian supplier has been suspended after whistleblowers alleged the contract contained financial irregularities. Bharat Biotech in India insists it correctly followed the regulatory process and did not receive any advance payments for the COVID-19 vaccines. Checking the numbers now, global stocks are in the red today, while Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi Global is set to begin trading on the New York Stock Exchange. It reportedly raised $4.4 billion in its IPO, valuing it at more than $67 billion. Time now for the latest in our series this week, looking at what post-Brexit business has been like for financial services. Today, we head across the English Channel, where Euronext operates major stock exchanges in a number of European cities, including Amsterdam, Brussels, Paris, and Milan. In April, the company's takeover of Milan's Borsa Italiana was completed, and with it, a plan to move computer servers out of the UK. The company's boss, Stefan Buzna, explains why.
The core data center is basically the physical infrastructure where trades are executed. And this infrastructure had to be located within the European Union. We want to have critical part of our infrastructure within a predictable regulatory environment, and we have no visibility as to what will be the future of regulations applying to circulation of data between the European Union and a third country like what the UK has become post-Brexit.
The equipment is in the EU now, but as of now, 80% of the trades originate here in the UK still. So do you think as a result of the move that you've already made, more customers, that's the banks that execute those trades, that they'll decide maybe to move to Italy or to other parts of the EU as well?
Well, the trend has started. Anyone post-Brexit who wants to make business on European stocks to serve European-based companies has to establish operations within the EU. The world post-Brexit is fundamentally different from the world pre-Brexit. The world where we have the finance in Manhattan is fine, but if at some point of time Wall Street says we don't recognize anymore the Supreme Court and the Congress, then there is an issue when the system changes. And that's what Brexit is all about. It's a decision to change the political environment and the regulatory environment of finance in Europe. Therefore, the European Union bloc had to get organized to adjust to this new reality.
Is there anything that really the city or the country could do? You mentioned regulation a few times that could change your mind to come back to London.
We are going to have teams in London to serve the UK markets, the UK-based clients, and London will remain an important financial center to serve the local UK economy and probably to address the needs of some global markets. Now, this is a process in the making of repositioning the future of the City of London in an environment where access to the single European Union market is not possible anymore. Our core business is to serve the European Union companies to be regulated within the European Union. Now that the UK has decided to build its future outside the EU, critical Euronext infrastructure will stay within the European Union, hence outside the UK. Brexit is a big decision, and big decisions come with big consequences.
Stéphane Boujna, the chief executive of Euronext, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, if you miss any of this week's special coverage, you can head to marketplace.org and click on the London Unbound tab. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.